believe that some of you, fear and anxiety is like an anchor on your faith. Fear and anxiety. There's a lot that God has to say about it.
This is Straight Talk.
I'm Mark Jobin. It's great to be with you once again on this radio program. We're talking about God economics, and this topic of economics is huge, especially at this season in so many people's lives. I have prayed and talked and counseled with many people who have lost their jobs or are facing foreclosure, who are going through some difficult times. Recently, I heard in the news of a man that shot his children and his wife and committed suicide because of the pressure of finances. And whether we like it or not, our economic stability and finances can put a lot of pressure on our lives. And so I want to pause right before we jump into these messages, and I want to pray for anybody that may be hearing my voice today that is under financial stress. I want to remind you that God is the God that opens and closes doors, that God is above recession or inflation, that God never runs into shortages in heaven, that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and that God is the one that gives us the ability to make wealth and the ability to provide. So rest at ease. God is in control. And Father, I pray right now for that person that is weighed down in worry, for that person that has a hard time sleeping at night because of their economic difficulty or their job situation or the fear of what may happen to their mortgage or the bills being paid. God, I pray that you, first of all, would remind them of your presence, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that joy would return to their life and that they would be able to trust you in this difficult time. Secondly, God, I pray that you would open a door. Father, for those that believe in you, those that call upon your name, open a door, Father. Make a way, God, out of this mess so that they can put their feet on some solid ground. And I pray this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, well, God bless you. Let's prepare our hearts as we jump into the Word of God.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on in our series today entitled God's Economics, and it's part two, What to Do with Anxiety. It's a study from the book of Philippians chapter 4. Let's get right into the Word with Pastor Mark on this edition of Straight Talk with a question. What do we do with anxiety?
Turn to the book of Philippians. I actually changed my message this morning at 9 o'clock. I had a whole bunch of nice notes printed out in a PowerPoint. But before our 9 o'clock service, I felt like the Spirit of God was saying, leading me to preach a different message than the one that I had prepared. Because I keep hearing a lot the word fear. Fear. There's fear about the future. Fear about the economy. Some people are afraid that they're going to be laid off. Others are afraid of their bank situation and where they have their money. Some people are afraid that they're losing their retirement in investment. Some people are afraid that their company is going to go belly up. Some people are afraid that they can't get the loan on the mortgage that they were hoping for. Some people are sending their kids off to college and now they're afraid that they can't get a loan to help pay for their kids' college tuition. And the banks around the country, some of them are being bought off by other banks. Some major companies are facing foreclosure, not just in North America, but also in other countries. Other nations around the globe. Europe is going through the same thing. Japan is in a panic right now. Anybody that's in the financial industry is worried. If you're in the trades and you're a carpenter, a plumber, or electrician, you know that new construction has come to a screeching halt. If you're in real estate, you understand that most of the money that you're making right now is on foreclosures, people that are buying homes that are already in foreclosure. So there's a buzz in the air. There's a holding of breath that's happening around our country. And there's a lot of people that are nervous. So I want to talk to you about what to do with anxiety, fear, or nervousness. Okay? Yeah, some of you are saying, okay, all right. Because there's a lot that God has to say about it. And I believe that some of you, fear and anxiety is like an anchor on your faith. If you begin to operate under the cloud of fear and anxiety, then you will begin to be petrified by its force on your life. Do you realize that our money, the value of our bill, if you have a $20 bill, the value of that bill is dictated in large part by the confidence that people have in that monetary system. When people lose confidence, the dollar loses value. When people have confidence, the dollar gains confidence, gains value. It's the same with the stock market, right? It's not that companies are less valuable one day than they are another. Stocks rise and fall based on consumer confidence. If someone feels confident about a company, then the stock goes up because a lot of people believe it's going to do well and they buy stock. When people are nervous, they pull their stocks out and the value of the stock goes down because fewer people are investing. So part of the financial crisis that's happening around the nation right now is due also to a fear mentality, to an anxiety that hovers over, and it's our fear and our anxiety that produces a domino effect in our society at this time. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul was talking to a group of people that were experiencing hard times. In fact, the whole theme of Philippians is really about how to go through hard times without losing your joy. Many people have called the book of Philippians the book of joy because Paul uses the word joy over and over. Don't lose your joy. Be joyful in all things. Joy, 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 which seems a weird topic to cover when you're in the middle of tribulation. But that's exactly what Paul talks about, because Paul understands that part of the key to overcoming your trial is not to lose your joy. So, in Philippians chapter 4, I believe Philippians 4, verses 4 through, verses 4 through 9 are probably the most powerful verses in the entire New Testament to tackle the topic of anxiety and fear. If you listen today and grasp these principles, I believe it can literally change your outlook on life and your outlook on the economy and your outlook on your current crisis that you may be going through. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, let's start out by talking about joy. They're facing a trial and a tribulation like many of us are facing a trial and tribulation, or this cloud of anxiety. Our nation is under this cloud of anxiety, and I want to make sure that you are not caught in to that fear mode. So the Apostle Paul says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, the last thing that you want to do when you're facing a crisis is to rejoice. How about it? Doesn't that seem really unnatural? You're driving down the expressway, you get a flat tire. Most of us don't say, yeah, a trial. Woof. My natural reaction is, oh no. Get out, change the flat tire, get all greasy, get all dirty. It's going to take me time. I got a place to go. Why? Our natural reaction in trial is to normally complain about it or moan about it or get discouraged about it. But the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to keep an attitude of joy. I want you to be intentional about rejoicing. Now, do you know there's a difference between feeling joy and rejoicing? Let me say that again. Do you notice that the Bible never says, feel joy? The Bible says, rejoice, not feel joy. Because there's a difference between acting on something and feeling something. Many of us want to wait till we feel it before we do it. But the Bible says, do it, and eventually you'll feel it. The Bible doesn't say, feel love towards your wife. The Bible says, love your wife. And many people I run into, they say, well, Pastor, I loved her before, but now I don't love her. I don't feel anything. And they expect me to say, oh, you don't feel it? Oh, go ahead. Then get rid of her. I mean, you should have told me that before. If I would have known that, I would have said, hey, yeah, no problem. You don't feel it, get out. No, wait a second. The Bible never says, feel love for your wife. And if you stop feeling it, then it's okay, get out of the marriage. The Bible says, love your wife. There's a difference between loving and feeling love. Love is an action verb that means we act in a loving way regardless of how we feel at the moment, because if we keep acting in that manner, the feelings will catch up with our actions. But our actions are bigger than our feelings. Your feelings will go up and down day after another. Some days you're going to feel madly in love. The hairs in the back of your neck are going to go up. You're going to think, I can't believe I'm married to this wonderful woman. And whoa, I love her so much. Let me write her a card. Let me kiss her. Can't wait to go back and see her. You'll have days like that, and then you have a lot of other days. Where you have a bad pizza the night before, you don't feel anything, you see her when she wakes up in the morning, and it's just, you know, you're zero feeling. It doesn't mean you stop loving her, it means that you act in love towards her, and those feelings catch up because your commitment is bigger than your feelings. When it comes to rejoicing, it's the same way. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to rejoice always. Not I want you to feel joy, but I want you to rejoice. The act of rejoicing means I declare the goodness of God. God, you are good. I rejoice in you. I am glad in you because you are still on the throne, because you are sovereign over all things. And my confidence and my joy and my expectation lies in the sovereignty of God, regardless of what's going on in the country around us. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And by the way, he says, in the Lord, not in your economy, not in your circumstances, not in whether the Sox win or lose or the Cubs win or lose, because then we would be sad a lot. So he doesn't say that. He says, rejoice in the Lord, that the source of our joy is God. The great thing about God is that God never changes. It's not like one day he's really good and then he's got a bad moody day and like, wow, stay out of his way because he's in a bad mood. No, you and I are like that. God is not like that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was faithful yesterday. He's faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow. He is unchanging, immutable in his character. So rejoice in the Lord always. Paul, just in case we didn't grasp it, he says, and again, I say rejoice.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called What to Do with Anxiety, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called God's Economics, How to Survive Recession, Depression, or Economic Crisis. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Our Straight Talk message is called, What to Do with Anxiety.
Then in verse 5 he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Here's the thing. Why would he remind us about gentleness in the middle of an anxious crisis? Because he knows our human character. When you get under stress, and I get under stress, when anxiety kicks in, and high pressure kicks in, the first thing that you lose is your gentleness. Right? I mean, how many of you know when you're under stress, you've had a bad day at work, you jump on the I-55 and there's traffic and it's slow, and suddenly you feel it. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and you just get stressed out. And you've lost your gentleness. I mean, you are now one aggressive, crabby Chicago driver. Get out of my way, move over, tailgating. I mean, that's the way it goes, right? Because you're under stress, and your stress gets rid of your gentleness. I have to admit, I'm still working on my driving. I'm still working on being sanctified in my driving. That's why I don't have any bumper stickers that say Jesus saves. I don't have a fish sticker on the back. I don't have a sticker that says I'm the pastor of New Life on the back. No, I don't. God has to still work on my sanctification. I don't want someone to see that and say, this guy was just tailgating me. Now he's got a Jesus sticker right there. No. I'm saying, God, work on my driving, and then I'll put stickers on the back of my car. So I'm still getting there. Some of you are better than me at driving. I'm working on that area. But what I've noticed is that when we get under stress, that gentleness leaves us. You've had a bad day at work, and so the pressure's on. And when you get home, your wife knows by you the way you walk in the door, the stomping of your feet, the aggravated huffing and puffing as you walk in the door. The kids know. Mommy's in a bad mood. Everybody's quiet. You walk in the door, you're stomping, and how come this isn't this lousy thing and this neighbor over there? You kick the dog, you yell at the wife, you get on the kids. Why? Because your gentleness has evaporated under your stress level. Some of you are very nice people in normal circumstances, but put you under a little stress and watch out. You want to stay away from you, because what stress does is it brings out the carnality in us. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be made known to everybody. And then he reminds us, just in case we get so consumed in the world and we think things are so important, he reminds us, hey, put it all in perspective. Look at what he says. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, why would he throw that in there? Paul speaks often about the imminent return of Christ. The fact is that there's certain things that you think are really important right now, but if you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, you would care very little about the struggle that you're going through right now. The imminent return of Christ. Jesus Christ, according to the Apostle Paul's teaching, New Testament teaching, will come like a thief in the night. And we need to live our lives knowing that Jesus Christ could come back at any time. The imminent return of Christ. And Paul reminds his listeners, his readers, hey, remember, the Lord is near. He can come back at any time. And it would change everything. So make sure you live for things that are eternal, not for things that have just a temporary value on this earth. And then he gets into giving them some real practical advice. Verse 6. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let me talk for a moment about anxiety. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything. Do you know what anxiety is? Anxiety is fear that you internalize over things that you have no control over. Fear that you internalize over things that you cannot control. Fear, anxiety, here's what the Bible says. There is no room in the believer's life for anxiety. It's not an option for you. It says, be anxious for nothing. There is no option. There is no door for that says anxiety, and you say, well, I choose anxiety. That's not an option for you as a believer. God says, if you're a believer, anxiety, ongoing anxiety in your life should not be a part of your lifestyle. Anxiety is fear. It drives your life out of fear, over worry, over things that could happen, may happen in the future of a negative nature. Most of the things that you fear will never happen. 90% of the things that you fear will never happen. So you've wasted a lot of time and energy worrying about things that aren't going to happen in your life anyways. Someone once compared fear to a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. You know, it doesn't do anything in your life. You rock that chair back and forth, but you know what? What are you doing in a rocking chair? You're not getting anywhere. You're not getting ahead. Fear doesn't do anything. Jesus said in Matthew, when he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, he said, is any of you, because of anxiety, able to add 1 inch or 1 day to the length of your life? Are you able to change anything over fear? Think about it for a second. What does anxiety do that's beneficial in our life? Anything? No. What anxiety does is anxiety robs you. What does rob you of? It robs you of your joy. It puts weights on your faith. And here's the biggest thing. The reason that God says do not be anxious for anything is that God never created you to live under the extraordinary weight of anxiety. You are not wired physically, mentally, or spiritually to live with anxiety. In fact, when you carry the weight of anxiety in your system, in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, it will begin to wear on you and do damage to your system. They've done studies, doctors have done studies on the effects of anxiety on people over the years, and they've discovered I read a medical journal a few years back that said that 90% of people that go to see doctors because of psychosomatic illnesses. Now, what is a psychosomatic illness? Psycho means it's from your brain. It's a real illness, but a real illness that's been instigated by wrong thinking. For example, do you realize that you could start worrying about the economy and that your blood pressure could go up and cause a real severe physical ailment, but the root of it is your thinking, not your body? Do you realize that you could start worrying so much about things that it creates acids in your stomach because of your worry, and those acids can begin to eat the lining of your stomach away, and ultimately that you could develop ulcers in your stomach, not because your body is prone to ulcers, but because your thinking is generating worry and anxiety that your body's not used to, and it generates ulcers in your stomach? Do you realize that you could be anxious about carrying anxiety in you and have high levels of stress, that it can induce severe headaches because of the swelling of your membrane? Do you realize that there's all kinds of effects that it can have on your heart, that people that are under more stress are more likely to have heart attacks, that your cardiovascular system is not engineered to carry the weight of stress? Do you realize that people that are under stress have a higher chance of getting forms of cancer? Because your body is not reacting well, and your body is not able to fight off those radical reproducing cells in your system, because you were never engineered to live under the weight of stress and anxiety in your life. Do you understand that? From a physical perspective, every medical journal that you read, every medical doctor that has studied this issue will tell you that stress is one of the open doors that causes incredible physical damage to our bodies. Why? Because God never engineered us to live under stress. And we say, well, the person died of a heart attack. Really, the person died of wrong thinking that led to cardiovascular disease that generated a heart attack. But it wasn't their blood system, it wasn't their heart, it was their mind that caused them to die. Why? Because God did not engineer your body to carry the weight of incredible anxiety on you. You understand that? God did not engineer your body to carry the weight of incredible anxiety.
And that was Pastor Mark Job with his message called What to Do with Anxiety, as part of our current series, God's Economics: How to Survive Recession, Depression, or Economic Crisis. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. On behalf of our team, Pastor Mark, myself, we hope that you've enjoyed the broadcast. We thank you so much for listening, and we ask that you tell a friend about our Straight Talk program as well. Join us again on the next Straight Talk. God bless.